I don't want to break the spirit here this morning, church. God is with us in a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal way. And I had a battle. I had the 2 hours sleep last night. Not because of the message. I just couldn't sleep. 2 hours. So if I go to sleep while I'm preaching this morning, just clap loud and I'll wake up. Okay. And I'll shout if you go to sleep. The message this morning is about real people. I don't know why this pulpit is where it is. It's a bit far back. I'm stepping on the plug there. So ek gaan hom net bietjie vorentoe trek. Daar's bietjie meer vir jou net. And we hope my iPad doesn't fall off. Oh, that was the water. Now I'm going to preach in the dam. Emil, kan ek jou gunsie vra? Why don't you bring me that pulpit, that little one that's around there? I'm going to come to you. So this morning, no, I'm actually going to use the little one, Dave. It's fine. This morning, I want to speak to you about, I initially titled it Amazing Grace. But I want to speak to you about real people. Who's a real person here? Can I see? I sent out a message earlier this morning. I said, if you're battling with problems and troubles and issues in your life, then God will speak to you this morning. And He's already spoken. Did you notice that every song we sang was about love? Every single song. Did you imagine? Thank you, Emil. Trek hem net lekker hoog op. En maak hem bietjie plat. Otherwise, it's going to fall off. Did you notice that the prophetic word came out about the love of the Lord? Joshua said something, and it's slipping me. But basically, it goes down to this. If you cannot comprehend the love of Christ, you won't get victory. It wasn't what he said, but in the nutshell, that's what it said. Surely spoke about, do you know how much I love you? And now, donkey Emil, you're a star. There we go. I started off preaching on this pulpit. We've got somebody who's actually donated. We're just waiting for the funds to arrive. We're going to get a new little pulpit. Little pulpit. I like a little pulpit. I don't know what I was going to say, but we started off today and the Lord spoke to us about love. And I want to speak to you about love. I want to speak to you about the fact that God loves you just as you are. God loves real people. Do you know, I come out the corporate world. Many of the people sitting here probably work for corporates. There's a thing called branding. Every corporate has a brand. If I held up a tin of, and I was meant to buy one and I forgot. If I held up a tin of Coca-Cola, yeah, in my hand. Just picture a tin of Coca-Cola. Can you picture it? What color is it? Red. What color is the writing? What's inside of it? Coke. What color is it? Black, brown, whatever. Do you like it? Some of you don't like it. How much sugar is in each tin? Six spoons, eh? Right. But it's lekker. Some of us like it, especially if it's ice cold and it's a hot day. In fact, if you gave me one right now, I wouldn't mind. Okay, that's its brand. Coca-Cola is one of the strongest brands you get. Okay? And then the new thing is, if you've been in a corporate, you would have probably been trained or taught or had a lecture, or not a lecture, but a seminar on your personal brand. Your personal brand. Your personal brand speaks about who you are and what you are. What is your image? What do you allow people to see? As Christians, we've got to have this holy brand. Holier than thou. Isn't it the truth? I mean, otherwise you're a failure as a Christian, aren't you? No. No, because that's not the real you. Because not one of us can say, we are holy. God says, be holy because I'm holy. But the reality is, for all have sinned and fall short. Amen. So we come to this whole personal branding thing. How do we get to be a personal brand? It's difficult as a Christian. Sadly, Christianity has got this picture of what... Sorry, I'm turning around in circles here. It's because I'm marching around this new pulpit. Let me move it this way. I'm going to miss the steps. The problem with the Christian brand is the generally accepted Christian brand is the fact that it's exactly what I spoke about earlier on. We've got to be this holier-than-thou mold. Amen. We've got to have joy. We're not allowed to be depressed. We've got to be well all the time because, you know, the Word of God says, by my stripes you've been healed. We can't have troubles because you must cast all your cares on Him. Don't be anxious. It doesn't fit in the Christian brain, the brain we know. Isn't it the truth? But who knows that real people struggle with every single one of those things I've just mentioned, plus lots more. Come on, let me see a show of hands. Who struggles with sin? Amen. But we're supposed to be holier than thou. Is it okay? Not really, okay? But the reality is it's real. It happens. Church, are you ready to deny that you're a sinner? You're in church and lie? No. Don't. And I'm not preaching a message of compromise this morning. The one thing I don't want to do in this church, and you're welcome to speak to me afterwards, or even stop me in my tracks and say, Keith, you speak in compromise. I want us to start to understand, what is a real believer? Do you know what turns people away from the church? The fact that believers are not real. That is why they call us hypocrites. That's why they don't want to be here. But in doing that, they're hypocrites themselves because they're not perfect themselves. This morning I want to speak about real people with real problems. And I put that in. I actually found it this morning. For most of my life, I can't even remember who wrote it. The person who did that picture. There's a website with that picture on it. I stole it. I borrowed it. Okay? For most of my life, I honestly didn't look forward to going to the church or reading the Bible. I thought that everybody in church was perfect and everybody in church was close to perfect. False picture. Amen. If you're perfect, stick up your hand. Okay. One day we will be perfect, but not today. So I want to speak about the real me, the versions of ourselves, our actual brand, the version that's not our brand that we want the world to see, our brand that we struggle with daily, our brand that we know is the real me, and Jesus knows is the real me. That's what I want to speak about this morning. And how do we deal with this hidden brand, this hidden real me? And you know, I went through the scriptures, through the messages I preached over the last couple of years. Every now and again, the Lord speaks to me about this. I'm not regurgitating an old message by any means. But every now and again, the Lord wants to remind us. A few weeks ago, I spoke about how long will it take before I deal with these issues? The fact that I'm a smoker and drinking, God can deliver me, and whatever. But today I want to say is real people struggle with real things. Real smokers struggle with a real addiction. Amen? Real coffee drinkers struggle with a real addiction. Real coke drinkers struggle with a real addiction. It can give you kidney stones. It can give you diabetes. It's a problem. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But yet we struggle with these things. The only way we can be real people is by taking off that mask that we allow others to see and coming, and this is my words out of my notes. Listen, remember what Josh said? By coming to realize the extent of God's love for us. You and I need to come to the place where we start to understand the extent of the love that God has for us and the love that Jesus Christ has for us. In Ephesians, and I sent this out as an encouragement during the week, 3 verse 14 to 19, it says this, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul, "For this reason I pray for you, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in what? In love." You need to be rooted and grounded in love. What, your love for somebody else? No. In His love for you. "That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints," and I did ask them to sing the song, "what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Do you know that you cannot be filled with all the fullness of God until you understand the width and the height and the depth and the length of the love of Christ Jesus? Do you know that? Do you know that you cannot be a proper Christian. You can't be a fulfilled Christian until you understand that. And this morning, we will read about that. We'll understand about it. God wants to speak to you about it. He knew the people. Paul prayed for the people, and I prayed for you this week for the very same reason. Firstly, he said that you, from whom the whole family, I pray to the Father from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The first thing he did is he identified with, with the family of God. He said, you are part of God's family. Say, I'm part of God's family. Amen. And listen, this is just the surface of this message. So don't switch off now. Secondly, he said that God would give us strength in our inner man through his spirit. So I have strength not because I'm strong, but by his spirit I'm strong in my inner man. Okay? Nothing is dependent on me. To have Christ live in my heart through faith. He gives me strength to have faith. Even on my own, I can't have faith. God gives me strength to have faith. Can you see, what does it take to be a Christian? Faith. But God gives me that. But to each of us has been given a measure of faith. That's what the Word of God says. Then he says, he wants us to be able to realize and comprehend the length and the depth and the width and the height of the love of Christ, which goes beyond normal human comprehension. So he says, it goes beyond our understanding, but I've given you the Spirit so you can understand it. So do you know that you can understand the love of Christ? Even though it goes beyond understanding, it's supernatural. The only way you can understand the love of Christ is by the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We may sense it, we may experience it, but we can't fully comprehend it until we have the Holy Spirit and He helps us. So today I want to challenge you. My first challenge is to ask the Lord, you must ask the Lord to give you a revelation of His love. So let's close our eyes. Let's close your eyes. And just ask the Lord personally. Say, Lord, please give me a revelation of your love. Do that. In Jesus' name we ask that. Amen. Amen. You may open your eyes again. Don't go to sleep. All right. What do real people look like? What do real people look like? What do you and I really look like? What does the Bible give us an example of? Well, let me show you. And I could pull out hundreds. Well, I don't know about hundreds, but I could pull out far more than what I can preach about in the little bit of time that I've got. Here's some biblical examples of real people. I see Moses. He's been raised in the palace. He's an Egyptian. He's got all the fancy clothes and headdress and the jewelry and everything. And one day he's out in the field and he sees an Egyptian beating up one of his people, a Hebrew. And you know what Moses does? He loses his temper and he kills that Egyptian. God didn't tell him to kill that Egyptian. He lost his cool. Amen? You know how I know it? Because Moses had a temper problem. Right? When else did it come out? Years and years and years and years later. More than 40 years later, in the desert, God said, go and speak to the rock. What did he do? Whack! Because he was cross with his people. He was mad at his people. He had a temper problem. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you've got a temper problem. But real people have temper problems. What about other real people? Samson. Oh, we all know about Samson. He was consecrated with a Nazarite vow. Consecrated, set apart. Who's been set apart here this morning? Can I see a show? Yeah, we've all been, that wasn't a trick question. We've all been set apart, okay? Consecrated. Samson had a problem with lust. Eventually, woman got him down. Women were the one that made him fall. He had a problem with pride. He had a problem. He would not listen to his parents. I know better than you. He had another problem with anger. We'll just take a whole bunch of foxes, set their tails aloft, and send them through the fields. Amen? But God had grace. God had grace for that sinner. Like you and me. David was an adulterer and murderer. We all know about it. And he had family problems. Can I see a show of hands who's got family problems here this morning? Real people have family problems. David struggled with depression. Just go and read the Psalms. Oh my soul, why? Are you so low this morning? Huh? Amen. Who struggles with depression? You might struggle with depression. Oh, I see some hands. You may struggle with depression all the time. I can tell you, I personally, every now and again it comes. That's it. Every now and again, I've got to fight this battle. Real people struggle with real issues. What about his son? Son had a problem with lust. 300 women. His son, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. If you've ever written the, oh, woe is me. What hope is there? What is the purpose of life? Depression. Amen. Think about it. He struggled with depression. How could he? Child of God, the smartest man that ever lived. How could he? He's a real person like you and me. Amen. Are you with me, church? Is the penny starting to drop here? David had enemies. He's got some enemies. He's got people that don't like them. Okay, real people have enemies. Hosea was married to a prostitute. He had some real family issues. Amen. What did he do? He went to the Lord. Went to the Lord. What about Paul? Paul, the great apostle. Paul struggled with his own flesh. Go and read Romans 7. I'll read you some of it now. You know, we've got lots of theories. The thorn in the flesh that he spoke about. My grace is sufficient for you, said the Lord. Some sickness. Some he couldn't speak well. Maybe he couldn't see well. Maybe he was bent. I don't know. There's lots of theories. Nothing clear. But there's something that he says straight. In Romans 7. He says, I struggle with my flesh. A wretched man that I am. What hope is there for me? Maybe the thorn in his flesh was sin. His own fleshly weakness. I might be wrong. Okay, I'm also just speculating. I said maybe, okay? What if the thorn in his flesh was sin? What if the thorn in your flesh is sin? And my flesh is sin? Or depression? Or loneliness? Who's lonely? I know what it's like to be lonely. There's a lot of people sitting in this church. I've got a loving family. I've got a wonderful wife. I can sit in this office struggling with loneliness. I go out and do my hobby. Miss my brother that's dead. My son that's moved on. Okay, he doesn't do that kind of real feelings for real people. But God doesn't love me. How can God let me go through this? I'm not talking about my loneliness. I'm talking about all of us. The real challenges, the real problems that we struggle with in life. The things that keep you awake at night. The things that you take to the Lord over and over and over again when you fail over and over and over. Because real people are not perfect. Amen. Can I hear it? Are you identifying with us this morning? Can I see a hand? Who's a real person here this morning? So church, I want to ask you this question. Why on earth is it that we try and put on this mask? I'm so wonderful. Axel mos nie so sondig nie. Ek is mos nie so mens nie. You're a liar. Amen? We're not perfect. And I'm not making excuses for it. By no means. God said, be holy for I am holy. Doesn't change it. The fact that I'm a real person doesn't change it. But I want to encourage you this morning. Romans 7 verse 24. A wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who knows if this is not the thorn in the flesh that he wrote about? That's my notes, okay? These were not the holier than thou people that we think they are or romanticize them to be. Moses was a great man of God. He's known and it's written in the word that he was God's friend. God spoke to him face to face. This man who had a temper problem. David, the man after God's own heart. Solomon, the man that God made wiser than any other. Paul, the great apostle that wrote most of the New Testament and whose life impacts you and me every single day of our lives. They were real people. They weren't holier than thou. Think about the disciples. Jesus didn't go to the tabernacle or the temple to go and look for the best Pharisee or the most high. He went to the It's a harbor where all the sinful sailors were. He found a couple. Said, follow me. Amen. Do you think your life is bad enough for Jesus to choose you? Amen. If you're holier than thou, you can't. Jesus said, the physician comes to those who are sick, not to those who are well. If you don't have problems, if you don't have challenges, then you're wasting your time here today. Because then you don't need God. We all need God. Amen. Amen. And in the same way, that is why you can't afford not to be here. Amen? That's why we need to be here. Because we've got problems. We're real people. We struggle with things. We struggle with temptation. We struggle with doubt. We struggle with depression. We struggle with getting up in the morning to go to church. Getting up to have a quiet time. We're real people. I've preached the opposite as well. You know that. I have. Said, where are we? We're not going to make up our minds to serve the Lord. But you know what happens? The enemy takes the fact that we're real people. And he makes us feel like we are rubbish. We're not good enough for God. We're not good enough for the love of Christ. We will never make it. That's what the enemy wants. He wants you to believe that. And you know what we do? We fall into that same thing of seeing God's expectation of us according to the Christian mold. Instead of seeing God's expectation of us according to God's mold. Amen. God didn't come to righteous people. He came to sinners. He said, while you were yet a sinner, I showed you my love this much that I sent my son. I didn't wait till you were ready. I sent him when you were not ready because all of sin, you'll never be ready. If I didn't send him, you wouldn't have had any hope. Hebrews 11 verse 39 to 40. Those people that I spoke about, Moses, Samson, David. I don't know if all of their names are in but in Hebrews, the great faith chapter, it says, and all these having obtained a good testimony through faith. What did I say early on? Where does our faith come from? God gives us it. He gives us a measure of faith. He enables us through His Holy Spirit. They through faith did not receive the promise. In other words, they didn't experience the fact that Jesus came. God having provided something better for us, that you and me, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. We will still be made perfect. Even those imperfect people, those real people, they had their names named in the Hebrews faith chapter. And you and I will make it to heaven, not because of our goodness, not because of our righteousness, but because of our faith in Jesus Christ who loves us. Amen. That's what we need to realize this morning. That's what God's wanting us to hear this morning. You see, I watched, what prompted this message this week is I bought three Christian movies to show last week. I wanted to choose one. And we didn't watch any of them because they were all too long. Okay, sometimes the Christian movies can go on a little bit. They battle to get to the point. Sometimes they need to battle to get to the point. But we watched this movie. Cheryl's been sick, so I sat in bed with her the one night and we watched a movie called Ragamuffin. It's about Rich Mullins. He was a Christian artist, but he struggled with real issues. He struggled with alcohol. He struggled with a low self-esteem. His father never accepted him. There were five of them, and his father could never. His father called his other four children. He called him, yeah, you become a musician. Sure, it's a tough one, that, eh? He rose to fame because of God's anointing on his life. He chose never to draw a fantastic salary. He said to his accountant, please just pay me what a normal person would earn. When he died in a car accident. He didn't even know what his wealth was. He wrote the song, Awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He had struggles in the church, going barefoot. He had these jeans. I thought it was a new thing, but they were torn. Yuck. They looked terrible. I said to Cheryl this morning, maybe I should just dress in my jeans and come to church the way I normally come to the office. Because that's the real me. This isn't the real me. I hate a tie. I hate a suit. It's not the real me. I do it because of the Christian mold. And out of respect for you. But he had some real challenges. And as I watched this movie and I watched the things that were said, it touched my heart. And I realized, because I faced some real challenges myself. And I realized the Lord was speaking to me and encouraging me and saying, Keith, you're okay. And I've come to say to you today, you're okay. Ivan, you're all right. We look at people, you know, we don't, you youngsters, you're okay. Okay. If I'm poor, I'm okay. If I don't have nice clothes to wear, I'm okay. It doesn't take away from the love of Christ for me. Are you with me, church? What real challenges and problems and temptations are we dealing with today? That's my next challenge. What are you struggling with? Depression. Lack of money in your bank. Problems with your children. Loneliness. Maybe you left home having said the wrong thing to your spouse. What is it that we don't want others to see? The hidden stuff in us. Do you think that, any of that stuff, by even this much, reduces the love of God for you? Do you? No, it doesn't. Because it says, Romans 8 verse, last, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Neither heart, nor death, nor hell, nor whatever. Nothing can separate us from His love. We are saved by grace and not by works. That's the next thing we need to realize. Sometimes we forget the basics of Christianity. What's the basics of Christianity? We forget that we're saved by grace and not by works. And we start to try and work for our salvation. We start to try and live these holy lives, these holier-than-thou lives, which we can't live. It's impossible for you and I to live up to God's standards. We forget it. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, but through Christ Jesus. Amen. Say, I can't do it. Say it. I can't do it. It's not a negative statement. It's not a given up saying, I can't do it. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. It's God's gift, not my goodness, not my work, not my stature, not the way I dress. Nothing to do with it. It's not about my problems. I'm saved by grace and grace alone. The New Living Translation says this, and you can't take credit for it. I can't. We'd like to, because we struggle with the flesh. We can't. I can't take credit for my own ability not to sin for 3 days. Because by the time the fourth day comes, oops, I've messed up again. Amen? Unless you guys don't battle with it, maybe you need a new pastor. A holier pastor. We try and live right anyway. That's the problem. We try to live right. Who tries to live right? Can I see? Come on. Do you try to live right? I've said this to many people. The problem is we try and live right and then we measure ourselves according to the church's mold, the church's standard. You've got to dress right, you've got to look right, you've got to say right, you've got to speak right. And you turn around and when nobody's watching, oops. Amen? I often say to people, when people are battling, I say, I've had people, and it's almost like it's in people, because they all say the same thing. Say, I'm trying, Pastor Keith, I'm doing my best. I said, that's where you're getting it wrong. That's exactly where the problem lies. Stop trying. Start trusting God. Because you can't do it. I didn't hear enough amens. Are you with me? You cannot do it. You cannot live the righteous life that you need to. You can't. It's impossible. Not in your own strength. You can only do it by Christ in you, because Christ in me is the hope of glory. You can only do it by grace. You can only do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. The minute you start trying, you are on the road to failure. Say that word. Say it with me. Failure. The only way you get success is by Christ. Amen. It's the goodness of God. What's that scripture? It's the goodness of God that leads me to repentance. His goodness. And I say, tell people, stop trying and start trusting. Say it with me. Stop trying, start trusting. Say it again. Stop trying, start trusting. And then I was thinking about it. I was pondering about it this morning as I was just going through the message the last time before coming. I was pondering, how do I get this thing right? How do I make it not an excuse? Oh, I can't do it in any case, so it's my excuse to carry on. So how do I get it right? How many times have I preached over the last while the words of Paul where he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And I've shared these words of John, John 3 verse 30. He must increase and I must decrease. Now, in the situation of John, in the context, John was preaching. He was baptizing people. And then his disciples came to him and Jesus is baptizing like you are. Okay, they were kind of indignant. How could you let him do that? He said, no, he must gain preeminence. He must grow and I must come kind of backward because now this is his time. And it's the same thing in your and my life. We are growing from glory to glory to glory to glory in Christ Jesus. You know that. As you serve the Lord, the more you serve the Lord, the more we start to reflect His character. Isn't that what we should be doing? Aren't we supposed to be hungering and desiring to be more like Jesus? More like God? I've spoken of it. We've preached about that in this church. You should know that. The only way you can overcome the flesh and overcome sin in your life is as Christ in you becomes more and more and you become less and less. And it's His holiness in you that is your hope of glory. It's His holiness in you that allows you to sin less and less. Because as He takes over, as we surrender more and more and more, the nature of Christ starts coming out in me. It's not because I'm trying. It's because He's becoming more. So if there's anything you need to try and do, you need to try and surrender more and more so that God can become more and more in you. And as He becomes more and more in you, His holiness starts reflecting out of you. He says, be holy as I am holy. Be holy as I am holy inside of you. Does that make sense, church? To me, that this morning was a revelation. I must be honest with you. I've struggled with this thing. I've gone back to Paul's words in Romans 7 and 8. There's therefore now no condemnation. Oh, wretched man that I am. The only way I can be holy is if I allow Christ to start filling me more and more and more, and I start showing the Christian character, and I start living out Christ in me. Then I'm no longer in the mold, the picture, because it's Christ in me. I'm not trying to live to the world's standards. Christ in me is living out. And I'm now starting to live in His standards. I'm loving the way He loves, because it's not me who's loving, it's Him in me that's loving. It's not me who's being righteous, it's Him in me that's righteousness is starting to come out. Can you understand that, church? So the key is to say, Lord, help me to be more and more and more like You. And He'll let Your character just overflow and grow in me. He must increase and I must decrease, because then I'll start getting victory. Are you with me? Are you battling with your imperfection, church? Does it make you feel far from God? It makes me feel far from God. The sad thing is, that's not what God wants. He wants us to accept our imperfection and accept Him as the one who's going to do the work. Christ in me, the hope of glory. If anybody is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, all things become new. What makes it new? My holiness? No. Christ in me. Christ in me makes me new. Are you willing to accept the love of Christ today? The problem we have is we feel like we've, the word says, for all have sinned to fall short. So we feel like we've fallen short. And you know what we do? We exclude ourselves from the benefits of the love of Christ. And that's really what I want to speak about this morning. I want to speak to you about how much Jesus loves you today. His love goes far beyond your and my ability to live right. Far beyond your and my ability to not sin. Far beyond your and my ability to not be depressed, or to not be angry, or to not feel lonely, or to not be sick. I'm sick. I must have failed God somehow because I'm not getting better. Come on, say amen. You haven't ever had that thought. I've prayed, but I'm not getting better. Something wrong with me. No, His love goes way beyond that. Jesus is not worried about your background. That's one of my next points. He's not worried about where we come from. Some people worry. I come from a poor background. I come from a background of abuse. I come from a background of all sorts of sin. I don't have money. I've come to church dirty today. I don't have a washing machine. I don't have new clothes. I've got some holes in my clothes. I don't smell so good. I didn't have deodorant. In fact, I didn't have a bath. And I feel inadequate in church because I'm weighing myself up according to the false standard of Christianity, that mold. Amen. Jesus loves me. Jesus said in Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears says, come. And let him who hears says, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires. Does it say he who has good clothes? Does it say he who is holy? Does it say he who has never failed? Never been depressed? He who's only happy? He's got the joy of the Lord? No, it says, whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Who's whoever? Can I see who's whoever? Put up your hand if you're a part of whoever. Amen. All we need is the desire. Doesn't matter what our background is. Are we willing to stop believing that the love of Christ is conditional on how well I behave? Because until we get that understanding, we're going to be living in this legalistic thing. We are under, effectively, New Testament law. We become New Testament, I don't know what to say, Hebrews, I don't know. Is this making sense? Am I putting it together in a way you're understanding? I'm not living up to the Lord's standards. He knows you can't. Amen. See, don't worry. Let me come in you, and I'll help you. I will live up to my standards in you. Amen. What about how we look? Sometimes we feel inadequate and unable to break through the love of Christ because of what we dress. I spoke about the fact that we're poor. What about if I've come to church today and I've got no shoes on? Okay? Does it make me acceptable to the Lord? Whew, the guy next to me can, sure, I wish you'd put some socks and shoes on. No. What about if I'm ugly? What about if I'm the best-looking person in the church? I'm talking about me now. Okay. All right, you guys are still awake. Okay. What about if I'm not able to pray fancy prayers in a fluent manner? What about if I'm not able to read out the Bible in a fluent manner? Amen? So I go to cell group and I stumble over my words. I read slow like I was still in grade school. Some people just battle. They're dyslexic or whatever. Some people battle. Might not be their home language. Now they've got to speak in English, but their home language is Afrikaans or Zulu or Sotho or Tswana or something like that. All of these things make you feel like you fall short. Do you really think that's what God worries about? 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature because I've refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. There's that mold. That's that mold. Man looks at the outward appearance. You hear? This is skande. Het jy gesien hoe sy aangedra het? Het jy gesien waar hy vrou gedra het? Hoe ek moet my man se hande sommer oor... Hey? You know, that skirt was a bit short. Do you think God cares? He looks at your heart. Stop being such hypocrites. Talking to me too, okay. Amen. Have you been feeling inadequate as a believer because of what you wear or drink? Oh, sorry, what you wear or what you look like. Drink. Maybe you do feel inadequate because of what you drink. Maybe the Lord gave me those words. Okay? Maybe you had too many last night. Do you feel inadequate? Do you think it separates you from the love of Christ? I'm here this morning to tell you it's not necessarily okay for you to get drunk, but it doesn't separate you from His love. Amen? What does your heart look like? That's what God's interested in. Emil, thy Easter clip. I struggled with this just to get the movie clip right. So I hope he gets it open because when I was preparing my message, I really battled. Oh, there we go. This is a clip out of that movie. I want to see if you can identify some of what I've spoken about this morning. Is the sound on?
That works is because she says go get milk and I go get milk. and then I pick up ice cream.
Yeah, I hear you.
I know the colors, babe, but just listen to
Rocky
this.
Road.
There is no other kind. I'll be right back.
Thanks, Maura.
All right, I'll see you.
He's still not here?
He'll be here.
I want to make sure we get a few things clear before I go on.
Hey, man, we've done this before. It's going to be okay.
Not in my church. First off, you boys all better find yourselves some shoes. This is the house of God. And clean up, tuck your shirt tail in, have some self-respect. I'm going to be talking today about being holy, being disciplined, and shaping up. And I want you to play something that will really drive that message home. You understand? And I hope you'll be out there listening to my sermon.
So, Gary, do you want to tell Richard?
If you're going to get serious about your faith, you need to look at this book like a rule book. It has the do's and the don'ts. Are you going to follow the do's, or will you choose the don'ts? As Zion comes up to close us in song, I want to leave you with this question. Would Christ be proud of you?
You know, I don't want to be disrespectful. I know we're guests here, but I kind of think how disrespectful would it be to not be honest with the church. I think it was the theologian Karl Barth who was asked once, what's the most theologically profound statement? And this is how he responded. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You know, whenever I hear people say that Christians are hypocrites, I kind of go, man, every time we get together, we're confessing that we're hypocrites. In need of God and in need of each other. It's all the pretending to be perfect that breeds inauthenticity in the church. Because none of us are. You know, I've been wrestling lately with surrender myself. But he loves us still. I think I need to go to Nashville. Whether I go or whether I don't go, I kind of think it doesn't matter. In the end, all that really matters Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
In the all end, all that matters. Is the Lord speaking to you today? Speaking to me. And then there's the real question. Do I really believe that Jesus loves me? Because church, this is what who we are boils down to. Do I believe it? I try so hard. I live this life that I want to live, the standard according to the way I see God wanting me to live, which falls short of His standards in any case. And then I fall and I sin, or I'm depressed, or I battle. And you know what? The Lord says, I love you. And when I'm on the hill and on the mountaintop and we're having the fire conference and everything's going right and there's revival in the church, He loves me. When I'm not with you, you don't see me, and I fail and I fall and I sin, He loves me. When I lay awake at night and I can't sleep and I'm just fed up because I can't sleep, He loves me. And when I'm stupid, now and again I get things wrong. I can't rarig dom wees, take care. I've got this deep sense of insecurity. It comes from when my childhood, and I had this bak oor and I used to be mocked. He loves me. He doesn't care about my bak oor. He doesn't care about your depression. He doesn't care about the fact that you sinned this morning before you came to church. He said, I came for sinners. I came for you. Amen. Show the other clip.
...48 years since I was first ambushed by Jesus in a little chapel in the Allegheny Mountains of Western Pennsylvania. And then literally the thousands of hours of prayer, meditation, silence, and solitude over those years, I am now utterly convinced that on Judgment Day, the Lord Jesus is going to ask each of us one question and only one question. Did you believe that I loved you? That I desired you? That I waited for you day after day? That I longed to hear the sound of your voice? The real believers there will answer, yes, Jesus. I believe in your love and I tried to shape my life as a response to it. But many of us who are so faithful in our ministry, in our practice, in our church going, are going to have to reply, well, frankly, no, sir. I mean, I never really believed it. I mean, I heard a lot of wonderful sermons and teachings about it. In fact, I gave quite a few myself. But I always thought that was just a way of speaking, a kindly lie, some Christian's pious pat on the back to cheer me on. And there's the difference between the real believers and the nominal Christians that abound in our churches across the land. No one can measure like a believer the depth and the intensity of God's love, but at the same time, no one can measure like a believer the effectiveness of our gloom, pessimism, low self-esteem, self-hatred, and despair that block God's way to us. Do you see why it is so important to lay hold of this basic truth of our faith? Because you're only going to be as big as your own concept of God. Remember the famous line of the French philosopher, Blaise Pascal? God made man in his own image, and man returned the compliment. We often make God in our own image, and he winds up to be as fussy, rude, narrow-minded, legalistic, judgmental, unforgiving, unloving as we are. In the past couple of 3 years, I have preached the gospel to the financial community in Wall Street, New York City, the airmen and women of the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, 1,000 physicians in Nairobi. I've been in churches in Bangor, Maine, Miami, Chicago, St. Louis, Seattle, San Diego, and honest, the God of so many Christians I meet is a God who is too small for me, because He is not the God of the Word. He is not the God revealed by and in Jesus Christ, who this moment comes right to your seat and says, I have a word for you. I know your whole life story. I know every skeleton in your closet. I know every moment of sin, shame, dishonesty, and degraded love that has darkened your past. Right now, I know your shallow faith, your feeble prayer life, your inconsistent discipleship. And my word is this. I dare you to trust that I love you just as you are and not as you should be. because you're never going to be as you should be.
So that kind of summarizes my message this morning. Are you and I willing to trust God? Are we willing to trust God? Trust His love? To me, this has changed my view on Christianity. It's changed my view on who I am. I'm loved. I'm loved. I'm loved when I fall short. I'm loved when I'm having a hard time. And I'm loved when I'm getting it right. The love of Jesus is so wonderful. So high, you can't get over it. So low. John 3 verse 17 to 18. We always quote John 3, 16. John 3, 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned. He who believes in Him is not condemned. So it's time we stopped putting our concept of the love of Christ into our own little box, in our own little mold, and started to understand that Jesus loves us. Church, does that make sense to you today? I want us to stand. It's been a bit long because I put clips and whatever in. I'm going to ask you to respond to the Word of God today. If you're here today and you've never experienced the love of Christ like that, I want you to come forward. And I want you to ask Jesus to help you to experience His love in that way. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I want you to come forward. I want you to give this next 10 minutes to Jesus. That's all I'm asking you. I want to ask you to get your concept of who Jesus Christ is and what His love for you and I is into the right place today. I'm going to pick up my guitar and I'm going to start singing a song. I want to ask you to come forward and respond to the message you've just heard. Dave, can I ask you just to pray as I go and get my guitar? Let's bow our heads.
Father God, how true and awesome and real your love is. Father, it's so special that while we were yet sinners, You died at Calvary for us. You stretched out Your arms as if to embrace us and say, come just as You are. Just as You are. There's no shame because I love You. I love You more than Your parents loved You. I love You more than You love Your children. Children, I love You more than Your parents love You. And Father God, how awesome it is to know that that undeserved favor that You showed and shower upon us is because of Your love, Your grace. Your grace that is there just for us. Your mercy is because of Your grace, because of Your love, that You show mercy upon us. When we deserve to die, Your love comes in through Your mercy and Your grace. How awesome Your love is today. And as we respond to receive that love this morning, I pray, Father, that Your Holy Spirit would just come upon us, that we might experience the newness of the real love of Jesus, the real love that calls us to be real people, not to try and hide behind some philosophical ideology, but to be real people in the face of God who loves us so much. Amen. Amen.